here to discuss what might happen henceforth regarding NBA teams, including but not limited to the Heat and the Celtics, is Kevin Hench of FoxSports.com. Kevin, welcome back to Only a Game.
Good to be here, Bill.
The Miami Heat have started the season at 2-1. They earned their first win of the season on Wednesday, but not before dashing everybody's hope that they would go 82-0 this season. So, was Tuesday's loss to the Celtics any indication of what we can expect from the Heat this year?
I don't think so. I mean, that team obviously is loaded. It's going to be a feeling out process as they learn to play with each other. And when the important games start in April, Mike Miller will be back, and I think that's going to make a big difference for LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. And I don't think the Heat, I don't think anybody has to worry about the Heat missing the playoffs.
The Celtics followed their defeat of the greatest team ever assembled by losing to the team that LeBron James allegedly destroyed by leaving Cleveland. Do the Cavaliers have what it takes to overcome the loss of James and put together a decent season?
Only if they get to play every game against the Celtics on a back-to-back.
That's quite a qualification.
They would win 72 games if they got to play the Celtics on a back-to-back every night, because the Celts are a little long in the tooth. Don't know if you noticed, Bill.
I have noticed that, but they got this young guy, Shaquille O'Neal, looks pretty strong playing for him. Maybe age isn't going to be that big a deal this year.
Well, of the long-in-the-tooth O'Neals, Shaquille definitely looks like the younger, sprightlier one, because the waterlogged corpse of Jermaine O'Neal has played 25 minutes in the first two games for the Celtics, and he put up a 1-for-5, 3 points, 4 turnovers, 7 fouls line. Jermaine O'Neal cannot play in the NBA anymore. So by that measure, Shaq looks great.
Lost in all the LeBronapalooza and predictions that the Celtics and the Orlando Magic are the Eastern Conference teams to beat is the fact that the Chicago Bulls have very quietly assembled a team that some people think could sneak up on those Eastern Conference powerhouses. What do you think?
I love that Bulls team. I think, you know, Derrick Rose, superstar in the making. Carlos Boozer is going to get them some easy points in the paint. Joakim Noah, just a tremendous defender and rebounder. But when it comes down to it, I think they're still a little notch below those other three teams. So probably ultimately another disappointing spring for Bulls fans.
In the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder is expected to do pretty well. Does emerging superstar Kevin Durant have enough of a supporting cast to bring a title to the Big Friendly this season?
The Thunder, they're on their way. Durant is gonna start winning rings eventually. It's just not gonna happen this year. Everyone who's counting on or hoping or wishing that the Thunder might prevent the Lakers from another trip to the finals, gonna have to wait another year.
Okay, so in your book, the Lakers are going to the finals, but is there any other Western team that might derail them?
Well, it's funny, Bill. I don't know about you, but I'm a year older than I was last year when we had this conversation, and I said the Spurs were too old. I don't know if Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili are a year older, too. But, yeah, that team's too old, so no worries there for the Lakers. I'll take Steve Nash at his word that the Suns aren't going to be as good as they were last year, that they're going in the wrong direction with the loss of Amari Stoudemire. And I just don't see anybody out there besides the Thunder that can even push the Lakers deep into a playoff series. The one interesting story that people here in L.A. are looking at, I mean, again, not a contender, but very excited to watch Blake Griffin play for the Clippers.
Any other good storylines that I've missed regarding teams that we really ought to be paying attention to at this point?
Well, one storyline that I was listening to our friends Charles Barkley and Chris Webber talk about is Al Jefferson in Utah, and they're very high on this move, and they think that Al Jefferson could get the Jazz over the hump, being paired with a great point guard in Deron Williams. I don't see it. You know, I just don't see it. I don't think Big Al's a very good defender, and I don't think offensively he gives them anything that Boozer wasn't already giving them. So I feel like the ceiling on the Jazz is exactly where it's always been, first or second round loss. In the Eastern Conference, of course, the wow story of John Wall playing in D.C., well, he opened his career with a 6-for-19 stinker, and I don't see that having any real impact this year. I think he'll be a nice player, but I don't think he can turn that Wobegon franchise around.
Kevin, in off-the-court news, NBA Commissioner David Stern recently fired a couple of typically good-natured salvos across the bow of the SS Players Union. I can understand why he might want to put a hard salary cap on the negotiating table, but is he serious when he says the league is considering shedding a team or three?
Well, I doubt it. No one ever contracts, right? I mean, that's part of the problem. And there isn't really enough talent, as Minnesota Timberwolves fans can attest, to fill out all these rosters. But I don't think that's a realistic expectation. David Stern, he blows my mind. He's got the greatest athletes in the world. And so who does he want to allocate more power to? The referees. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the greatest athletes in the world, and if they turn their palms upward to the sky, we're going to call a technical foul on them.
Well, I think. That's almost like eye rolling.
Sarcastic clapping is a technical. So you now have to, you already can't call a block or a charge, but now you have to be a psychic to figure out if the guy is clapping sarcastically or if the guy is disappointed in you or in himself, because any gesticulation now merits a technical, and I think we saw how ridiculous that can get in the preseason when Kyle Korver tapped himself on the elbow to indicate that he'd been fouled on a shot, and that madman, Kyle Korver, got teed up immediately.
Well, I'm going to take your comments as a demonstration.
Sarcastic clapping.
A demonstration that you don't think that the new rules policy is going to accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish.
Yeah, it'll accomplish watching guys shoot free throws with the lane cleared. I mean, if there's anything less appealing than watching superstars whine all the time, it's watching solitary figures shoot free throws.
Kevin Hench covers the NBA for FoxSports.com, and he's our Herald of the Hardwood here on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Bill.
It's 19 minutes past the hour. If you're a hotshot golfer, then be careful where you sup. You shouldn't pour your Cheerios into the Ryder Cup, for golf's a solemn business for a lot of stuffy twits, and they are bound to bluster if you fill the cup with bits of sugar-coated cereal and feed it to your kids. And Ian Poulter did that, so the poobahs blew their lids. The Stanley Cup's another thing. Who cares if it gets dented or tossed into a swimming pool or lost or maybe rented? But golf is grim, as sure as down is down and up is up. So do not eat your Cheerios out of the Ryder Cup.
I like cereal, you like cereal, no matter who you are. They all like cereal, I like cereal, you like cereal, no matter who you are. You all like cereal, I like cereal, you like cereal, no matter who you are. We all like cereal.